been an interesting summer about filling in and bringing God's word to you. I had a Wednesday night situation where the pastor had called me and he said, can you take it over and on Wednesday night? And I said, sure. And came in that Wednesday all prepared. I was ready to give a pretty neat little message, I thought. And first person that greeted me when I came in that evening was the pastor. And I thought, did I misunderstand that? So I said, which way you want to go? And he said, well, sorry, but things didn't work out the way we thought it would. Obviously, Friday, things didn't work out the way he thought it would either. And so I got a message, or got a text again, and with an invite to fill in for him today. I have to tell you, though, yesterday as I was preparing this, I thought, now, is he going to show up tomorrow and just pull the rug out from under me again? But obviously not. And so our prayers go out with him today. But I will also tell you that I had been talking to the pastor for the last couple weeks about some messages that I had been putting together for the Christian Men's Job Corps, which we, by the way, will be starting up this fall for our second one in our fully certified program to run. And I love how God works in these things. I had a message that was really on my heart about this, and one that I thought would really be a good one to deliver. And about 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon, after hitting my head against a brick wall for quite a while, as my wife would tell you, I said, okay, God, now what? And this morning in our Sunday school class, Seth Box, in response to a question, when I asked a question in the Sunday school class, the first thing that came out of Seth's mouth was, pray about it. And my only regret yesterday was that I didn't pray about it earlier, because God then did bring something to my mind that I pray will be more appropriate. If you would, open your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis 17. Genesis 17. We'll be reading in verses 7 and 8, and to give you a little bit of background, this is the heavenly visit to Abram, who later will have his name changed to Abraham. And we know this passage, those who have read it, and it will be a familiar passage, that this is the covenant promise that God makes to Abram, now called Abraham. Genesis 17, 7 and 8, and it says, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee in the land therein thou art a stranger, wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." Bow with me in prayer, please. Father, thank you for this covenant. Thank you for this promise. And we know that that which you promise are promises that are never broken. And Father, as we look at your word, be our God. Speak to our hearts. Use me, Father, to deliver this message. And may all that is said and done be to your glory. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Thursday, we were coming back from Jackson, and we had been there to visit a doctor for a follow-up visit for Angel. And as we're coming back, Angel was in the back seat and she was reading off some little verses. And they were kind of like little proverbs or little bromides that I'm not too exactly too sure what the source was. I think it may have been Pinterest or something like that. And her comment would often be, I like that one, or that's really neat. And these are the kind of things I was struggling as to what to call them there, and I call them kind of like feel-good verses. You know, on a good day, as we're looking at these things and we reflect on the sentiment of them, they kind of make us feel good. Kind of gives us a warm and fuzzy feeling that life is good. But I had been reading recently an article by John Piper, and he had been addressing some of this as well. And he made this quote. He said, a nebulous sense that God is somehow working to help us is not such a clear channel for the Holy Spirit's power as when we have a clear, sharp sight of a specific promise. Now, that's a lot of difficult words to understand, but he's basically saying that we need a clear understanding of this vision, this idea that is being put out. And by the way, that came from a book that he called Reading the Bible Supernaturally. You see, a proclamation that God is for us, something that makes us feel good and warm on a good day, maybe painfully lacking on the day that we're facing a lot of trouble. The main reason is because what makes us feel good with what we just read or heard is totally being overshadowed by the pain that we might be going through at that moment. And so we need a clear vision. We need a vivid statement. We need something that is really going to have some meaning for us, that's going to break through that fog of pain and turmoil that we're going through. Now, some of the things that Angel was reading that day were scriptures. And I will tell you this, that the scriptures are always better than something that we can come up with. Because they have God's power in them. It's not by our power, it's by God's power. And you know, when I fully understand the reality that God loves us and that He wants us to not just to feel good, but to experience joy, to experience satisfaction in living, and that He has provided us with some massive forces to help us combat the evils that are going to beset us, then I can feel good as I walk into temptations and trials. Not feel good in the sense of being euphoric or giddy about it, but that I can rely on something that has some assurance of being helpful. It will be meaningful for me. John Piper later in that writing said it this way, even one specific word from God can make you far more dangerous on the battlefield for your soul. Wow. One word from God makes you dangerous in that spiritual battlefield. Well, we've been on a spiritual battlefield, our family, for the last month or so. And so it brought me to this point. Have you ever felt anxious about anything? worried? Has anxiety ever crawled into your mind? Probably most of us would have to say yes. Sure has. And as I was thinking about that, it brought to mind something that I found rather humorous the first time I ever heard it, because it has to do with how people react to anxieties and worries. There was a movie that came out a few years ago called Bridge of Spies. And some of you will remember the incident. It's based on a true story. The incident is based around a man. He's a lawyer in New York. His name's James Donovan, James B. Donovan. And he was picked out to defend a man who had been arrested in New York by the name of Rudolph Abels. Now, Rudolph Abels was arrested for espionage, and they wanted to try him in the United States as a criminal under our justice system. And James Donovan, because of his reputation, was picked to be his defense. The idea being that our justice system would be on trial and we wanted to look good. This is in the Cold War era. This is about 1957, 58. Some of you are old enough like me to remember that. You might remember the situation. And if you don't remember the Abel trial, you're going to remember something about it. You see, Donovan represented Abels, and as was expected, he was convicted of espionage. The penalty could be death. Donovan was very critical about the idea of executing him, and he argued to the judge that he should not be put to death for espionage, but that he should be sentenced to life imprisonment. And he convinced the judge to do so. Shortly after, the incident that I said most of you would remember was that a young man by the name of Gary Powers was flying a spy aircraft over the Soviet Union and was shot down. And all of a sudden, they had one of our people. They tried him in a court with probably not the justice that we had, and found him guilty. And Donovan was then chosen. He was selected to then negotiate the exchange of prisoners, Rudolph Abels, for Gary Powers. But what struck me as kind of odd is Rudolph Abels is portrayed in the movie Bridge of Spies as being kind of a low-key, laid-back kind of guy. Now, remember, he was raised in a communist, atheistic society. And as Donovan is trying to get him to interact with him, he says to Abels, "Aren't you worried that you might be sentenced to death for what you have done?" To which Abels replies, "Would it make a difference?" Jesus is addressing in Matthew 6, he addresses some people who were talking about being worried about their lives, so how things were going to work for them. And Jesus said this about it in Matthew 6:26. He says, "Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they?" Is worrying going to do you any good? He goes on with several other examples. So what does our worry do for us? Or maybe it's not worry that has bothered us. Maybe we've had a temptation that's come out and grabbed a hold of us and and jerked our attention away towards it. Jesus had this to say about it in Matthew 5:8. He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." In other words, if your focus is on God, God's promise is that you're going to see God if you maintain this pureness of heart. Don't be drawn into a temptation. Another promise that is made had to do with our relationship with God. People, he said this in Matthew 6:14-15. He says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." There's a promise there. God is saying that if you will do this, then I promise you to do this. We often like to quote one of the Ten Commandments, that the only one that has a promise that talks about children and their honoring and obeying their parents, that it will give them abundant life, another promise. I don't know about you, but I've relied on God's promises many times throughout my life. They are these things that I can reflect on that will encourage me, that they will lift me up, they'll give me the strength to get through some things, to endure some hardships. But back to recent times. Like I said, for the last 4 weeks, our family has been through some trials. Personally, it's been a challenging time for me. And one morning, and I believe it was Sunday, about 3 weeks ago, was the morning. I had brought Becky back to with me back from Jackson. Janet stayed over with Angel in the hospital. As is my practice, I normally get up early in the morning and do some devotion. That particular day, I knew that we were going to be getting around. Becky and I would be traveling back down to Jackson that day. And I came in and started at my computer. And I don't do this very often, but for some reason I went to a application on there for a daily devotion. I wasn't wanting to spend a lot of time that morning because I was in a hurry to get around. And I really wanted to spend more time in prayer than I did in devotion or reading the Bible. And so I pulled up Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, and he does these devotions morning and evening. So I'm sure some of you are familiar with them. And here's what I found that day. This is the masterpiece of all promises. Its enjoyment makes a heaven below and will make a heaven above. Here is a deep sea of bliss, a shoreless ocean of delight. Come, bathe your spirit in it, swim and age. And ye shall find no shore. Dive throughout eternity, and ye shall find no bottom. Wow! The masterpiece of all promises. And Spurgeon is going to share this with me. And then came these words: I will be their God. I was puzzled. That's the masterpiece promise? To be quite honest, it didn't seem like enough. I mean, there had been other sermons taught by Jesus that he made promises. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. I will be with you until the ends of the earth. And then it dawned on me. Every good thing, every good benefit from God was only ours. Even those promises that Jesus had made were all based on this first promise. Those heavenly beings brought back there that we read about in Genesis. At the end of Genesis 17:8, where it says, I will be their God. Spurgeon was right. It was all about that. And I had to admit that we could die. I could search all through this life, and I will never find anything more astounding than the fact that God has promised to be my God. You see, it wasn't just their God. My God. I'm one of those that he has picked. And when I don't feel like I'm in touch with all that, it's usually because I'm concentrating on me, on my need, on my concerns, on my problems. I'm not focusing to God. You see, all of a sudden, that promise doesn't get weak when I am under pressure or under stress. In fact, if anything, that promise, it has more meaning at that point. If I will only look to God and not be looking at my own problems. Even the word structure of this, the word God gives the strength to the other four words that are there. It is God's sovereign power, God's infinite wisdom, his unrivaled creativity, his limitless love, his unrelenting justice, his inexhaustible compassion and mercy, his godness makes any of his other promises in the Bible, although beautiful and trustworthy, dependent upon it when he says, I will be their God, your God, my God. He first made that promise to Abraham and to his offsprings, as we had read before. And if you read that whole account, this is all about those chosen people. And so you may be saying about now, well, I'm not a Jew. Well, if you believe in Christ and the sacrifice that he made on the cross, you are Abraham's offspring. You are his children as well. Take a look at Galatians 3:7. Like, turn over there and see what that has to say. You see that as Paul was writing to Galatians, this issue would come up as well. As he's teaching these people now of the new gospel, the good news, he says this in Galatians 3:7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. There it is. And if we look a little bit down further into Galatians 3, at the last verse, it will say, and if you be Christ's, then ye, Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. When God announced this new covenant through Jesus Christ, he was proclaiming again what he had said through the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 32, 38 through 41, he said this, "And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way, and they that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good. But I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good. And I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul." Wow. What a promise. He said, "I will make a covenant with them. I'm going to make a promise, not a promise that will be broken." It's more than just that. He said, "And I'm going to seal it with my blood, with the blood of Jesus Christ." And he says, "And I will only ever do good for them." Yeah, I don't always think it's good. I don't. Maybe you're in the same boat that I am occasionally. I find it hard to understand that when I'm hurting, God's saying that's good. But if it's not true, then Romans 8, we might as well throw it away. Romans 8 said, everything's good for us. Now, we may not feel good, but that doesn't mean that it's not good for us. God needs to teach us. And sometimes that lesson comes with pain. He said, "I will renew their dead and lifeless hearts with holy fear, with holy admiration of who He is and what He is and what He has promised us." And I love this. And he says, "I'm going to rejoice in loving them." Wow. Can you believe it? Even in when I am suffering and when I'm learning, God's up there. If I'm learning, if I am trusting Him as my God, He's rejoicing. Do you get it? How does that sound to you, Bradley? Isn't that wonderful? He is saying, "I am rejoicing in my child as you are trusting me." And he's going to do it with all his heart and his soul. And I can't even begin to imagine what that is. I don't know about you, but I can't. You see, every good thing that we receive, every harm that we have been protected from, every comfort we have enjoyed, every temptation we have been delivered from, every trial we have endured has its roots in one incredible promise. And that is that I will be your God in Christ your God. And get this. When God knitted or put together this promise that he made back there to Abraham, he didn't do it just for that event. He did it forever. Turn with me to Revelation 21. Take a look, open your Bibles and look at Revelation 21. Remember, we saw the promise in Genesis, the first book of the Bible. Now look at Revelation 21, the next to the last chapter of the Bible as we know it. In verse 3, he says, "And I heard," this is John speaking, "and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God forever." We didn't do anything to deserve this. We didn't do anything to earn it. The only thing that we can do is, as it tells us to do in Philippians 1:27, let your manner of life be worthy of this gospel, this good news of Christ. That's all we can do. Paul also wrote in 2 Corinthians, he said this, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So when we hear these words, I will be their God, then we can let our hearts just soar. We can just be joyful as we receive that blessing. Even when we're in the midst of a trial, if we would but focus on this, that God is our God, that He loves us, that He cares for us, that He's doing everything that is going on in our lives for our good, we can have joy. It's not relieving us from the pain, but we can have joy in our hearts knowing that we have that promise. I don't know about you. I hope you can see that the impact this has had on me, that it's just an awe experience. It's a wow in my life that brought me through the last few weeks. But when I had to reflect on that, they've also brought me through a lot of experiences many times. I just wasn't focusing on this promise. But here's the good news. You can too. Please bow your heads with me.